right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast with Pat Lane and Mike Langone. It is May 24th, 2017. So today we're going to be talking a little bit of Celtics. Game 3, big win in Game 3. Game 4, close, but not quite. So down 3-1, Game 5 tomorrow night. So we'll see what happens. So we're going to talk a little Celtics and then also get in the offseason a little bit with the Celtics. Red Sox as well. I'll talk a little bit about them, and then we're going to do, again, This Week in History and the Warrior One to watch at the end there. So, all right, so let's get right into it. All right, so I guess we'll start with Game 3, you know, really with the recap, with the way they played, I mean, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, down 21 in the third quarter, you come back from that, and really for them, I mean, hell of a win. You know, no Isaiah Thomas, obviously, everyone basically, and we said here last week, no chance you win game three or four.
Right.
No shot of winning game three or four, and that's really how I felt. I just thought, there's no way they're going to possibly, how could they possibly win games three or four? And they came out and did it anyways, and so... you know, really hell of a game. Smart played out of his mind. Jarebko played really well, shockingly.
Yeah.
Avery Bradley played really well. So a ton of guys. You know, Jaylen Brown gave good minutes, and Al Horford played really well. So, you know, it was really a full team effort. You know, losing to the Cavs. You're down 2-0. You got blown the hell out the week before. You're down 21 on the road. And they come back and win, really showed you something about the Celtics team, I thought.
Yeah, and seeing how well they did without Isaiah, it was interesting because instead of having that one mismatch, you know, it's 5-on-5. You know, it's not Isaiah on Kyrie Irving or J.R. Smith. It actually worked out for them in Game 3 and almost last night in Game 4.
Yes, it is. We'll get more into that a little bit later, I think, because it's an interesting thing. It's a little tease. It's what we call in the business. That's what we call a tease for a little bit later. So, but yeah, I think I really do. I think you're right. It was 5-on-5, and the defense brought the offense, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, they played hard defense, and that led to offense.
And I don't think Cleveland was expecting that.
No, and I thought, you know, I really thought, because LeBron, it looked like almost had checked out that game. He scored 11 points.
Well, he's sick.
Oh, good point.
Sick. Richard Jefferson, I forgot, said today.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's got to be the reason why. Got to be. It's got to be an excuse, obviously.
That's why he missed that dunk last night.
Well, you know what? He has a 99-degree fever. 99.
Really?
Yeah. So that extra 0.4 of a degree really must be killing him.
What was, you know, Jordan's fever?
I don't know, like 114.
Yeah, something like that.
It wasn't that high, but he was puking on the bench. So, I mean, I think, you know. So, but, you know, anyways, LeBron clearly, I mean, was disengaged, had 11 points, 0 points in the fourth quarter. I think he attempted 3 shots in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in a close game in the playoffs, he attempts 3 shots. It's crazy. You know, so that's game three. And that was a hell of a win, and they were fired up, and it was great. And it was great for everyone here to kind of look at it and say, oh, my God, like, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It wasn't really a fluke win either. I mean, I don't think it was. I mean, if you come back like that against Cleveland in Cleveland, that's
right.
That's saying something.
Well, and people have been saying, well, you know, Cleveland quit, or they weren't playing hard, or they weren't. And it's like, no. Don't take this away from the Celtics.
Yeah,
like, they
matter.
Won the game. That's what the Celtics did. They won. They played the game. Everyone plays the game, and they won. And you got to give it to them. I mean, and especially, like you said, you're down 21 in the third quarter. I don't care if the Cavs weren't playing that hard. They could flip the switch at any moment.
Oh,
like
yeah.
We saw last night. Yep. They could just flip that switch, and the Celtics never allowed them to do that, and they hung on and won. And that Avery Bradley bounce at the end was unbelievable because you watch it, and you're like, not only was it a crazy bounce, but if it had gone right in, the Cavs would have had like 2 or 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And it just bounced around, and there was 0.4 left. And I was like, you'd be kidding me. It was that was pretty awesome. So, you know, so that's game three. So game four last night, again, Celtics came out rocking really hard, took it to them in the first half, I thought. And I just thought, really missed a huge opportunity in the second quarter. You get LeBron with four fouls onto the bench. You're up, I think, 16 at the time. I think they were up. And they finished the half up 10. So they lost 6 points from the time LeBron left until the end of the half. And it just, like, that was their moment. Like, that was the moment that they had. LeBron's on the bench. The Cavs are playing like crap.
Could have put him away right there.
Right. And you know, you go into that half up 20 or 25, and the Cavs might fold, and then you win game four. And all of a sudden, you come back to Boston tied 2-2 with the Cavs. Like, what are you kidding me? And so, and they really missed that opportunity, and it was like, you know, they went from 16 to 10, and then by the middle of the third quarter, they were down by 9, and that was it. As soon as that happened, the game was over. And Celtics, to their credit, Celtics never quit. They played hard the whole way through, all the way to the end of the game. They wouldn't go away. Like, the Cavs couldn't pull away, but they went cold in the second half. I saw a stat that said, I think it was Kyrie and LeBron combined for 48 points in the second half, and the Celtics scored 42. So two guys outscored the Celtics by 6 points. I mean, you just can't compete with that. And anyways,
and I think at one point Cleveland was shooting 79% in the second half.
They were.
And the Celtics were shooting like 24%.
It was just unbelievable.
No, they were shooting 44%. They were shooting roughly the same that they were in the first half.
Right, but Cleveland just turned it on. They flipped that switch, and that's what I was saying earlier, was they flipped that switch and see you later. And Kyrie Irving, I'm sorry, but I was listening to the radio today, and they're talking about, well, you got to stop him from driving and getting his way and do this and do. I mean, I thought they did a pretty good job defending him. There's just nothing you could do.
Right.
He goes down there. There's four guys in his face as he goes up for the layup, and he still hits it.
That three he hit at the buzzer at the end of the third. That's
what
I knew
feet
it was over.
Back, it was just like, you're kidding me with that.
It was just such a. It reminded me a lot of like a big three Celtics road playoff loss.
Yes. Yes.
Like, they got a lead, and then either LeBron or Kobe or someone turns it on, and you can't stop them. They, you know, it just reminded me a lot of that. It reminded me of, what was it, Game 7 in 2012.
Yep.
They had a lead in that game, and Game 7 in 2010 against the Lakers.
Yes.
14-point lead with, minutes left, 13 or 14-point lead.
Yeah, that was bad. That was really bad. I mean, I think Kyrie won that game for the Cavs, and LeBron turned it on. He scored a ton of points in the fourth quarter. He ended up with 30-some-odd points of the game, but, like, without Kyrie in the third quarter, the Cavs don't win the game.
No.
And so LeBron eventually maybe shut the door, but Kyrie is the one that I think, you know, dealt that final blow to the Celtics.
For LeBron, those are garbage time points.
Absolutely.
Like, that's like, you know, Carson Palmer throwing for 450 yards.
Yep,
you know,
pretty much.
Up 50.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and he took over. I mean, he did take over at times.
Oh, he did,
but at that point, the game was probably over. And, you know, like you say, it's basically garbage time for LeBron, and he's just out there playing. And like I said, the Celtics never quit. They did not quit. I will give them that. You have to give them that. They played hard all 48 minutes.
Yeah.
And they just, in the third quarter, you missed Isaiah in the third quarter. Because with all his defensive deficiencies, when the team goes cold and can't shoot, you need to have a guy who can score. And they don't have any pure scorers on the team except for IT right now. Now, maybe Jaylen Brown someday turns into that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But right now, that's not who he is. And so they don't have anyone on that team right now that can do that. So without IT in that third quarter, they struggled big time. They were missing shots. They were turning balls over. Marcus Smart turned back into Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I got written down here, he was ugly Marcus last night.
Yeah.
He was ugly last night. He was like 1 for 8 shooting, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the one shot was a three that he banked in. Like, it was just, you know. And so he was not good. He turned the ball over, forcing shots. You know, the way they're going to get shot, the way they're going to score, the way they scored in the first half was ball movement. Move the ball. And they kept saying it at halftime. Move the ball and move bodies.
Yeah.
Ball movement and body movement. That's what's going to win. That's how the Celtics are going to score. And it's totally true. And they didn't do it in the third quarter. And they got back to it a little bit in the fourth.
Yeah.
But by then it was already over.
Too late.
So
I thought they had them, though.
Oh, my God.
I really did. Even when Cleveland was coming back and LeBron missed the dunk.
Oh, that was
awesome. The first time in his life.
That was the night of the year. That was the play of the year right there.
I was like, they got it. They're going to win this game. But then Kyrie Irving happened, and you know what? Good for Cleveland, but I don't know. I don't think they have much of a shot against Golden State if they, unless it's, I mean, if the Celtics don't come back.
Well,
of course.
Oh, well, that's a good point there.
Home but court.
That's true. That's true. Very true. But you know, you look at it and you say, okay. You just can't. You got to tip your cap to Kyrie. You just have to.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's that. You know, he was that good last night, and he can be that good. That's the type of guy he can be. He finishes around the rim like nobody I've ever. I mean, the last time I saw a guy finish like that was Allen Iverson. Really. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, where he's just going fearless to the cup, laying it in.
And there's like nothing anyone can do about
nobody,
it.
Nobody. Not one thing. And it's, you know, he's not LeBron. He's not 6'9"
right.
and 250 pounds or whatever LeBron weighs. Like, he's not big like that. He's just a guard who goes in there and you just cannot stop him when he gets in the lane. Mm-hmm. And so he was unbelievable. And you got to tip your cap to him and you say, you know, they blew that opportunity in the second half, in the second quarter, to really take a lead. And, you know, that's the way it goes. LeBron last night, in the press conference, I don't know if you heard this or not, but in the press conference, he goes, he's like, you know, I'm just glad that I came back and I could help Kyrie blossom into the player he's been, or something like, dude, stop taking credit for Kyrie Irving. Seriously, Kyrie Irving's his own player. You don't have to take credit for him being good. Sorry, but we're all set with that.
Who else in the league would have four fouls? When did he get his fourth foul? Was it?
It was in the second quarter.
In the second quarter.
Yeah.
And not going to foul the rest of the game.
It's true. Although I will say in the second half they put the whistles away for everybody.
Yeah, they did.
Right, so they weren't necessarily calling fouls for anyone.
Jay Crowder should have had three foul shots.
Yeah, the guy, Korver just jumped into
him. Yeah.
No foul there. But I will say it was kind of even on both sides. They weren't calling anything in the second half. And I wonder if part of the reason they weren't calling anything in the second half was because LeBron had four fouls.
Yeah.
And they just said, screw it, we'll just put him away, and then that way LeBron doesn't foul out.
Can't have LeBron James foul out in a playoff game.
That would be pretty awesome. He fouled out a playoff game in 2012 against the Celtics, and he was pissed in 2012. Yeah. And so, I don't foul out of games, is what he said after the game. You know, it's just stuff like that. You know, and all four of those fouls are legit, right? The broadcast team was bitching about the foul he had on Marcus Smart. He hit him in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but you can't hit a guy in the face even if it's after he shot. Like, it wasn't intentional, but your hand's up there, you get him in the face, it's a foul. It's just the way it goes.
And Terry Rozier.
Hey, man.
Drawing a charge.
Drawing a charge. Two of them, right? He drew a charge and then he pushed him down. Wasn't that Rozier that he pushed down when he was in front of him?
I think it was.
I think so. Yeah. So he drew two fouls on LeBron. And shame on Tyronn Lue for not getting LeBron out of the game with three fouls in the second quarter. Like, are you kidding me? Can't do that. And I know he's LeBron. I know he's probably not going to foul out. But it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
You had to sit him for the last, 6 minutes of the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the Celtics missed out on an opportunity there. But if the Celtics had been up 25 at the half and the Cavs had lost that game, you go back and look at that and say, what the hell was Ty Lue doing
right
there? And they lost that game because of that stretch.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you can look at the same and say the same thing about the Celtics. So, we'll see. So, game five is tomorrow night in Boston. I don't see them winning. Maybe they do. I don't see them winning. But all I'm hoping for is for 48 minutes of hard basketball. Play them hard. Play them tough. Don't give up to the end. And really just go through it that way. And if they do that, I think we're happy about it. And they've talked about that. I mean, they talked about that after game three. Avery Bradley talking about it this morning. We owe the fans in Boston more than what we gave them the last time we were there. So they know.
Yeah, I think they'll play well.
You know, and they really, I think they really feel that way. They feel like, you know, they need to give everything they have. Whether they win or lose doesn't matter. You know, because if they lose, you look at it and say, well, the Cavs are better than them. They should have beaten them anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So you got one in Cleveland, which is unbelievable. And we'll take it. And then you say, okay, you played hard the rest of the, well, not the rest of the series, but the other, you know, three out of the five games, you played your ass off. And if you lost two of them, you lost two of them. What are you going to do?
And as bad as the first two games were, they never seemed intimidated by Cleveland.
No. No, they didn't.
Even the young guys like Jaylen Brown and Rozier.
Jaylen Brown's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
I mean, LeBron schooled him last night, but, I mean, he was in high school a year and a half ago, so.
Well, that's true, although he did say on LeBron's, when LeBron beat him to the baseline, which I thought was bizarre because Brown just almost stopped.
Yeah.
But he literally, and if you watch the play, which it's funny because...
The travel.
It's hysterical, but it's funny because Jaylen Brown actually got called for palming, which I don't think I've ever heard that even ever called.
Me neither.
Ever. And he got tripped on the play, but that's nevertheless...
Isn't that what every player does?
Pretty much, yeah. Every single time. Yeah. Fred Hoiberg was celebrating at home when that foul got called. But, you know, LeBron spun off him to the baseline and just, like, picked the ball up. And then dribbled it again.
Yeah.
And it was like, he was like, wait a second. Because he even said it. He's like, yeah, he stopped. Like, he was going to do a fadeaway, pick the ball up, and then dribbled it again.
Yeah.
And it was like, don't worry about it. No big deal. And so, I mean, it's LeBron. He's going to get the calls. There's nothing he could do about it. And no one really calls it. They don't really call it in the NBA anyways.
No,
but even still, it's still good to hear him come out and kind of call out LeBron. Oh, yeah, you know, whatever. I don't care about that. Or I didn't care about this. Or I didn't care about that. Or I'll cover whoever. Like, he's not scared or intimidated. And the kid's 20. Like,
that's
I'll take
awesome.
It. You know what I mean? So that's what you want out of young guys.
And
so
he's Brad's guy.
Yes, he is Brad's guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see. I thought he hadn't gotten enough minutes at the beginning of the playoffs. I was a little pissed about how little they were playing him.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fact that he wasn't starting. You know, game two really killed me when they started freaking Gerald Green instead of him. I was pissed about that. But what are you going to do? So, but anyway, so that's that. So game five, we'll see what happens. If they win that one somehow, that would be awesome. If they do, game six will be over the weekend, and then game seven next week. You know, we'll see. But you never know.
Don't let us win tonight.
That's right. That's right, Kevin Malone. So anyway, so I think the more interesting thing to talk about, and there's a lot of interesting things about the playoffs, but I think the more interesting thing to talk about for the Celtics is their offseason. A lot of questions. You know, Gordon Hayward is the name that everyone talks about because it's the obvious name, right? Hayward's the obvious name. He played at Butler with Stevens. You know, he likes playing for Stevens, supposedly at least, and so you would think... And he fits here. He's a good outside shooter who plays pretty good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a fit for this spot. So that's a question there. Another question is, do you keep IT? Do you trade IT? Do you keep Avery Bradley? Do you trade Marcus Smart? What do you do? And then, what do you do with the number one pick? So there's a lot of stuff to go over there. And so we'll just kind of get into some of it. But the first one to me is Isaiah Thomas. And I will tell you this right now. I've come to this belief, and I think it's... I thought this maybe before the playoffs started, but now for sure I'm on board. IT is not a max player. Not a max player.
He's close. I don't know. I think they're going to give him, if not a max, something close.
Maybe you're right, but let me ask you this question. And here's my rationale for why he's not a max player. Are the Celtics better when Isaiah's not playing?
They're certainly a different team. I wouldn't go far as saying that they're better, but I don't know. They're a different team. I don't know what.
Okay, well, so is
like,
there...
look at the difference in the last couple of games. I mean, they, like you said earlier, I mean, they probably would have won last night if he was playing.
Well, maybe, but then maybe their defense wouldn't have been as good, so they wouldn't have played as hard.
Yeah,
defensively.
But if you're up, you know, 19, 20 points.
True. But I mean, maybe it changes them. Maybe it changes them defensively, and so that they're not up 19, 20 points because their defense is different. But let me ask you this question: I think there's a discussion there, right? I think there's a discussion now. Maybe he's not. I personally don't think the Celtics are better without Isaiah Thomas on the floor. However, I think it's pretty tough to deny at this point that there is at least a discussion to be had at that point.
Yeah.
At that, right? Let me ask you this: are the Bulls better without Jimmy Butler?
Bulls better without Jimmy Butler?
Yep.
No.
Okay. Are the Pacers better without Paul George?
No.
Is Cleveland better without LeBron, Kyrie, or Kevin Love?
The Celtics are better when Cleveland doesn't have Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin Love.
That's very true. Are the Hornets better? No, the Pelicans, not the Hornets. The Pelicans better without Anthony Davis?
No.
Are the Rockets better without James Harden?
No.
Okay. Are the Thunder better without Westbrook?
No.
Are the Bucks better without Giannis?
No.
Are the Celtics better without Al Horford?
Ooh.
Come on. No chance. What, Kelly Olynyk's a better player than Al Horford?
No, but Horford's just so, like... I don't know, he has proved a lot to me in the playoffs, but I don't know. For a guy who got a max deal.
Well, you're right. Okay, so now, so this is my max deal. This is the max deal thing. All those guys, zero hesitation. Mm-hmm. Zero. Those are max guys. If you're going to sit there and tell me that, well, you know, maybe the Celtics are, maybe they're a better team. They're certainly a different team. Maybe they play harder. Maybe they're, I don't know what the deal is, but maybe they're better or different, but not a lot worse. Well, how's that a max guy if the Celtics aren't considerably worse when he's off the floor?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's such like a weird situation because I really like IT.
What?
That's... And I, you know, he, like Horford, he proved himself to me in the playoffs, especially in all year, really. I mean, what did he average? Like
almost 30. Yeah. Like 29 or something like that. He was a
monster. He has another guy with him that goes down. But,
right.
But he proved a lot. But realistically, and that's where, as a Celtics fan, we tend not to think realistically.
As Felger would say, we live on planet Deluja.
Yes. But realistically, yeah, we're probably better without him. Or, you know.
Or even not better. And
but, like, yeah, it, not better, but it's just different.
It's,
you know,
not
what I mean?
Right, and it's not a precipitous drop.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have him on the team,
right?
You know, and that's because we do have very good guard play on the team right now. Yeah. When Marcus Smart plays like he did last night, we're not going to win anything. When Marcus Smart plays like he did Tuesday night,
mm-hmm.
then okay, we're pretty good. We're all right. You know, if you draft a guy like Markelle Fultz and he is that next guy. Well, now you're talking about, okay, you have a point guard that can play defense and play offense, facilitate and score himself, not as good of a shooter as IT is, but then again, IT came out and he wasn't as great of a shooter as IT is right now. So, you know, as a young kid, you never know. But I just looked at it and said, you know, if there's a discussion about whether or not the Celtics are better with him on the floor, how could you turn around and say this guy deserves max money? And that's what a lot of people are doing. And I'm like, wait a second. You know, if you can make that argument, and again, I want to be clear. I'm not making the argument. I think that the Celtics are better with IT on the floor because he's such a good scorer. And clearly they're a different team, you know, because they play harder on the defensive end or whatever. And really his defensive limitations just come from his size.
Yeah,
it's not like he doesn't want to play defense.
Yeah, he has his moments.
You know?
But yeah, it is. Mostly his size, yeah.
But I just think, you know, if there's a discussion as to whether or not the Celtics are better without him, I don't know how you could pay that guy $30 million a year, you know? Especially when the draft is loaded with young guards that play his position.
It's an awkward situation.
It really is. It really is. So then, if you don't keep Isaiah, then the question becomes, what can you get for him?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't get anything for him, well, then you're better off keeping him. Because what the hell, why the hell am I going to give Isaiah up if I get nothing back? It doesn't make any sense, right? So then you play out this year's contract, and then next year you hope to maybe do a sign and trade. I guess. I mean, because I don't know what else you would do, because it doesn't make any sense to give him up for nothing. But at the same time, if you're not going to re-sign him, you say, okay, we'll keep him for next year. We'll play in these conference finals again because you realistically you look at it and say, okay, you know, we're gonna make these conference finals with IT again, and if you bring in Hayward and you bring in Fultz or whoever it is that you bring in, you got to assume you're gonna get somebody.
Yeah.
So then maybe you stick with them and try to do a sign and trade. So so we'll see.
See, I think they think of him as the new Pierce. You know, the new captain, and they love guys like that. The guy like the Celtic pride,
right?
You know, and it's hard to find someone to buy in to the Boston Celtics.
Well, it's very true, but couldn't you say Al Horford does the same thing?
Not as much as Isaiah.
I suppose that's true. Isaiah does really buy in. He really loves being a Celtic. I mean, you could see that.
I mean, they got him in the trade, and then it was kind of like, you know, I don't think anyone expected. No, I mean, obviously, no one expected.
Yeah.
This year out of him, so
right,
so it's like he's their guy, and that's why I think if it's not a max, maybe it's like a 2-year deal for a ton of money or a 3-year deal or something.
Two or three. And I'd be okay with that. Two or three year deal for 20 million, 22 million, something like that. Like, I'd be all right with that.
Yeah.
Because again, I don't mind having him on the roster still. If you keep IT, you're going to have to get rid of somebody else.
Right. And
I think Bradley's gone because Bradley's a free agent after next year.
Yeah.
Same as IT, and he's getting a ton of money.
Oh yeah.
And you're not going to be able to keep him. You just can't. And I love Bradley, don't get me wrong.
He's my favorite player on this team.
I just think, and like you had said it before, he's the most underrated player in the league. He really is, and he does so much. He's a good scorer offensively, and he's a phenomenal on-ball defender.
Right.
And you don't find that a lot.
He's always hurt, though, and that's his thing, too. How many games did he miss this year?
Tons. And you're right. I mean, it's every year you can plan for it, and it's just a matter of whether it happens in the playoffs or not.
Yeah.
Because if it happens in the playoffs, then you're screwed. Last year, it happened in the playoffs. They lost in the first
2012, round. He missed Game 7 against Miami.
Right. So you just, if it happens in the playoffs, it does. If it doesn't, then I guess you're okay because it's just a regular season game. But if it happens in the playoffs, then you lose one of your best players. Yeah. And so then maybe it becomes, what can you get for him? Or what can you get for Smart? Or what can you get for Rozier? Or whoever it is that you want to trade? I just think... I will see. But I think, in my opinion, IT is probably the one that needs to go unless you can't get anything for him. And if that's the case...
And I don't think you can.
Then you keep him.
I don't think you'll be able to get much for him that they're looking for. Like,
yeah, but a scorer like that? A guy that's legit a scorer?
He's a system guy.
I suppose.
You have to have the right system.
I suppose, but I don't know. I mean, he can score anywhere. I mean, he shoots well. He plays on the ball and off the ball well. He's not a great defender, but... James Harden is a great defender. Now, James Harden gets rebounds and is a lot taller. I get that. But, just because he doesn't play defense, I don't think limits a team. A team could look at him and say, are you kidding me? This kid can score from anywhere.
Yeah.
He can drop 30 a night easily. And, if that's the case, we could give up something for him. Now, you may not get a really top-of-the-line draft pick because most of those teams aren't kind of in a win-now mode. Mm-hmm. But if you can find a team that's in a win-now mode... And, try to swing something. I don't know. Maybe Danny can figure it out. But
the point guard market is it's kind of stacked right now. So, it's not like there's not a place for him to go.
That's true. It is true.
Because any good team has a good point guard. I mean, I can see San Antonio maybe if Tony Parker is getting up there. But
it's a possibility. But then again, what are you going to get from San Antonio?
Yeah.
And, number 29 pick in
the
draft?
They don't do trades.
Like, that's great. Right. Yeah, that's true. So we'll see, and then the question becomes: then what do you do with one? And so that's a long discussion that we don't have time for today.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that more in the coming weeks. What are you going to do at one? And we'll see what they do at one. At three, last year I was pissed they drafted Jaylen Brown. I was pissed.
Everybody
I wanted
was.
Chris
I was
Dunn,
pissed, yeah.
And everyone said this kid sucks and he can't play. And he had the highest turnover ratio in college basketball last year.
Couldn't shoot,
and it was like, what, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And then the guy comes in, and he can shoot, and he's relentless, and he plays his ass off, and everyone loves him.
Yeah.
So, Danny got it right last year. He's got to get it right this year. This is a huge one, right? First time in franchise history you get the number one pick. You have to get it right. If that means you trade it, then you trade it. But you have to get it right this year. That it's priority number one is nail that number one pick. Again, whether it's a draft pick or a trade, you have to get a franchise-altering player at number one.
A quick question. If you're Cleveland, do you do over the Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins deal?
Man, it's a good question.
Because that's essentially what the position the Celtics are in right now, number one pick.
Right. I probably wouldn't, only because you won a championship already. You're competing for a second one. And with Wiggins, you probably don't win the championship last year because Love, even though he wasn't necessarily an essential contributor, contributed a decent amount last year, and he's contributing a lot this playoffs. And Wiggins has turned into a good player.
Yeah,
and so at this point now, he has a higher ceiling than Kevin Love probably does. But they're in a win-now mode,
yeah.
And it probably makes the most sense for them that they made the trade. In the long run,
I just think a LeBron, Kyrie, and Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, I mean,
big three
would be ridiculous.
Scary.
It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah,
and I think I'd consider it. I think I'd consider it because they lost in the finals the first year anyways. So they didn't win the championship right. the first year, and Love got hurt in the playoffs.
And Love was hurt. So.
Thanks to Kelly Olynyk. But, you know, but anyways, so we'll see. I mean, I think it's a really good question. And if I were them, maybe you would. I mean, I don't know. If you went to them and said, would you redo that trade so you'd have Andrew Wiggins instead of Kevin Love? They might say yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, shit, if I'm the Celtics, I'd be praying that they redid the trade, because then the Celtics could have gotten Kevin Love, who was the perfect player for this system. Yep. And that would be fantastic. If he was on the Celtics, they'd be fantastic. They still might not beat the Cavs if they had Andrew Wiggins and LeBron and Kyrie, but
yeah.
you know, they'd be better than they are now. So we'll see. So anyway, so that's Celtics game 5 tomorrow. Check it out. Go Celts. We'll see what happens, but hopefully it's a dub. We'll see. Anyway, so we'll move on to the Red Sox. Red Sox 3.5 back right now. Mm-hmm. They're winning tonight. Chris Sale's pitching. Dominant.
Historically dominant.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Well, I think he's got 8 straight games with 10 strikeouts right now. And he's tied with Pedro and a guy by the name of Chris Sale for that record. So he already did it. I think it was in 2013 with the White Sox. So. You know, Pedro's pretty good. So anytime you're on a list with just you and Pedro, and now he's on the list twice, is a pretty good list.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how many strikeouts he's got tonight. I haven't looked at the update yet. But, you know, but obviously he's pitching well, and they're finally giving him some runs. So, but what I wanted to talk about was really Dombrowski more than anything. And I know John Farrell's on the hot seat, or should be on the hot seat, certainly, I think. But Dombrowski, I just feel like he's gutted the system.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no guys left in the system, and it's just like it's driving me a little crazy.
Yeah.
And some of the guys you've gotten people back. So like Sale, you had to give up Moncada and Kopech, right? You had to, and I get it. I'd make that move 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, they kept Benintendi out of it. Surprisingly,
well, that's the biggest part, right? You keep Benintendi, mm-hmm. Betts, and Bradley out of it, right? But you give up Moncada, who, you know, has played okay this year. Michael Kopech is still very young. He's averaging 13 strikeouts per 9 innings this year. Now, that's in single A ball. So it's, you know, it's a little skewed. But nevertheless, he's a young guy, so we'll see, right? But the Sale one, I don't care who you gave up. It's Chris Sale. Like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you have to do that.
So the ones that kill me are the Tyler Thornburg one. You gave up Travis Shaw. And Dubois, I think his name is, both utility infielders. Travis Shaw would look really good in a Red Sox uniform this year after the way third base is played this year.
What are you thinking when you, like, did you really think Pablo was going to give you 150 games?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I think for him, he thought it was more important that you dealt with the bullpen than, you know, maybe wasn't sold on Travis Shaw. I don't know.
Relievers. Carson Smith.
Well, same thing, right? Carson Smith hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
Tyler Thornburg hasn't played yet. It's like these guys, they blow their arms out, and then now the Red Sox haven't seen them at all. So the bullpen's in trouble, and that Thornburg deal sucks. The next one is the Pomerantz deal, which don't even get me freaking started on the Pomerantz deal. Like, are you kidding me? You know, he had elbow problems coming here. It sounded like this offseason you could have undone that deal and sent Pomerantz back to the Dodgers, to the Padres, and gotten Espinoza back, and instead you kept Pomerantz. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Stubborn.
It's just stupid, and I get it. Maybe you don't want to admit you made a mistake, and so you like Pomerantz. But Pomerantz doesn't do anything particularly well. He doesn't blow you away with his stuff. He's not a great pitcher any way you slice it. And Espinoza, I mean, he's, what, 20 now, I think. Yeah. And he's a long way from being anything. And as a matter of fact, I don't think he's pitched this year, because I think he's had some elbow/shoulder issues. Mm-hmm. So maybe he turns out to be a dud. But, like, he could be a stud. And it seems like he could be. And you won't undo the deal. You know what you have in Drew Pomerantz, and he sucks.
Yeah.
So what the hell is the difference?
He was an all-star last year.
Good point. That's true.
But every team needs a representative. And
the Padres it just so happened that he played on the Padres and they sucked. Yeah. And so he was the best player out of their crappy bunch. And he put up decent numbers at the beginning of the year, and then he fell off. And it's just like, so he put together a good month or two. Great. Mm-hmm. whoop-de-doo. Like, you know, this guy, Espinoza, could be legit. But yeah. Who knows? I mean, I don't know, but it's frustrating. And then Kimbrel, who's been lights out this year, but you traded Margot, who, again, starting for the Padres again. And then you also traded Logan Allen, who, again, single-A ball, but he's averaging about 12 strikeouts per nine innings. So, you know, two guys who look like they could be pretty good guys. There's another guy in the mix, too, but he sucks, so I didn't even include him.
And I'm pretty sure they could have traded Sandoval for Kimbrel. Just because San Diego wanted Sandoval.
San Diego did want him.
They offered him more money.
Right.
And he took less to sign with the Red Sox.
Yeah, and so you wonder if Sandoval would have been part of that deal. However, after the year that Sandoval had that first year, I don't know if.
Well, that's the first year I'm talking about. Like, I think it was around the deadline that they were, or the waiver deadline.
Yeah.
That was rumored.
Yeah, maybe. I think maybe you're right, but I don't know. So anyway, so that's really that. There are other deals, but those are the ones that kind of stick out to me. I'm just not crazy about what he brought in this year. You lose Ortiz in the lineup, and you replace him with Mitchie Two-Bags. And look, I like Mitch Moreland. He's a good player, but he's not David Ortiz.
Right.
He's not replacing David Ortiz. He doesn't have any of the power that Ortiz has. And fine, that's okay. You don't necessarily need that, but you need it from somebody.
Yeah.
And you haven't gotten it from anybody, right? Bogarts hasn't been hitting. Hanley hasn't really been hitting well. I mean, I think Jackie Bradley Jr. is under the Mendoza line. He's hitting like 204 or something.
He hasn't
like
been
that.
The same since the hitting streak last year.
Yeah. So I don't know if he's pressing too much or what's going on. I mean, listen, I'll take him still, throw him in the nine spot, and throw him on the center field because he's an unbelievable fielder. So I'll take it. But you need other guys around him that are going to hit. And right now, those guys aren't doing it. Betts has been good. Matter of fact, I think the past week, he hit like 4 home runs last week. So
he's
getting back on track.
Yeah.
But he certainly wasn't doing that at the beginning of the year. So we'll see what happens. But. I think they really missed out on not signing Encarnacion. He got nothing.
Yeah, well, he hasn't done anything this year.
True.
But it'd be different at Fenway. I think
right.
He's the perfect type of guy for Fenway.
Right.
You know, he's a right-handed Ortiz, really.
Really. And that's really what he is, right? And you get the monster there. It's like, what are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The guy would have hit 40 home runs this year. So,
but I also don't understand if they traded for Sale in the offseason. Why couldn't they have made that deal last year?
I don't know.
And for Ortiz's last season.
Right.
You know. It,
well, I think that part of it is that Chicago was just done. They were done. You know, some of the antics that he had, the cutting up the jersey stuff.
I think it.
Oh, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. Around here, we love that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what we want. We want them to show their, you know, to show that type of stuff. But I don't know. I just think that. You know, maybe they weren't ready to deal him. Maybe they weren't ready to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then they said, you know, now we're like, all right, now we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give us a good offer and we'll send him to you. So maybe that was it. However, you know, in saying that with Dombrowski, you know, Sherrington, you know, and I wish they had kept Sherrington, but really he was fired for signing Hanley and Pablo. I mean, really, that's the real reason he was fired,
right.
If you look
at
it.
He signed two of the same players.
Right. Right, to play the same position.
But it was a panic signing just like they did in 2011 when they signed Crawford when they already had Ellsbury.
Right.
You know, they do things
just
like
unnecessary.
That. Unnecessary. Yeah.
Feeding the monster, as they say.
Because I thought Charrington was actually a really good GM.
Yeah.
You know, he look at the team he assembled in 2013. And
right.
You know,
no, it's true. I mean, I think you're right in that Sherrington was a good GM. I just wonder how much pressure there was above him.
Oh, I'm
pushing
sure
down on
it was
him.
The same with Theo.
Right.
You know, and Theo had the balls to say, you know,
right,
screw off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. I mean, that's very true. You know, I just think, too, the Lucchino thing with Lester was an absolute debacle.
Oh,
yeah. They offered him $17 million. I mean, you could have gotten him for, like, maybe $22, $23 million a year.
Yeah.
And instead you let him go. Because he's, what, over 30? And then the next year, you sign David Price, who's over 30, for like $30 million a year? Like, what the hell are you doing? It's just, it was a panic move there because they were like, well, we lost out on Lester, and we really shouldn't have let him go.
Let's get the next
so now we're going to get the next best guy, who, of course, is not the next best guy because he freaking blows. He's
the in polar crunch opposite time. Of John Lester.
Right. Plays well in the regular season, sucks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and Lester's never going to win a Cy Young probably because he doesn't play that well in the regular season. Good mm-hmm. Good pitcher in the regular season.
Yeah.
You know, probably a number one or a number two in the regular season. But when you get him in the playoffs, man, he is lights out in the playoffs. And that's what you missed.
One of the best.
You know, that's what you missed, I really thought. And so they just screwed that one up big time. And they're still trying to make up for it with the Chris Sale thing, I think. You follow Chris Sale's a little bit different than David Price, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think they're still trying to catch up to that. So that mistake was huge. If you want to blame Sherrington, I guess you can. I think everyone now knows that that's Larry Lucchino and not Ben Sherrington. Lucchino offered him freaking $17 million a year in spring training. And at that point, because you did that, you lost him. Because he said, screw you. You're going to offer me that? I'm out of here. Like, I'm not even going to listen to your offers anymore. Right. So, you know, he tried to lowball him because he had talked about maybe giving a hometown discount. And so you try to take advantage of a guy after he does that? Like, what are you doing? You know, offer him $20 million. Offer him 9, whatever, you know. Yeah. You know, if the top of the market guys are getting 25, offer him 20 and say, yeah, it's a hometown discount. And then he come to you and say, look, I know I said hometown discount, but I still want, you know, 21, 22. I want close.
Right, because pitchers are getting good money. And, like, Homer Bailey, I think his deal was kind of like what Lester wanted.
Right.
And I don't know. I just think, I mean, I was okay with them letting him go. But I just wish that they kind of, you know, fought harder for him.
Right.
You know, especially when he was here. Because I think I'm sure he thought about signing here again when he was a free agent that offseason.
Yeah.
Before he went to the Cubs. But
well, at that point, it was too late. Mm-hmm. It was too late at that point. You had to trade him. And look, he eventually turned into Rick Porcello, right? Because you traded him for Cespedes, and then you traded Cespedes for Porcello.
Yeah.
Porcello's not having a great year this year, but he won the Cy Young last year. So maybe you could say, well, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever. You can make the argument if you want, but I would still rather have John Lester than Rick Porcello. I would.
Oh, I would too.
And then you also wouldn't have David Price on the staff. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you really coveted Porcello, you would have made the Porcello trade anyways. You would have figured it out. Somehow send him someone else to get Porcello. Yeah. And then you'd have Lester, Porcello, and now Sale. And you'd be set.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it didn't work out that way. So we'll see. Maybe the Red Sox will keep going. You know, the way they're maybe trending up a little bit, we'll see what happens. But who knows? But yeah. They're close. They're within striking distance. They're just out of the wild card race right now. So it's early. It's only May. So
right, but around Memorial Day, that's when you know where your team is.
Right.
And I don't know. They just don't. I can already tell they don't have it.
No. Well, what scares me is that Dombrowski doesn't know that. And he's going to give up a crap load at the deadline to get something else.
Yeah.
And you just, at this point, you can't do that. You just don't have enough in the system to do that. So hopefully he, you know, knows what the hell he's doing and doesn't give up more guys in the system. So so we'll see. But anyways, all right, so let's move on. So we want to talk about this week in history, you know, what happened this week in history. And so I guess I'll go first. May 22nd, 1988, Game 7, Dominique and Larry Bird, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Just an unbelievable duel between two guys that were just so insanely hot at the time. Bird went off for 34. 20 of those 34 were in the fourth quarter. This is just stupid. Wilkins went off for 47. 14 of that was in the fourth, and Dominique missed 4 shots all game. 19 for 23.
He's awesome. I love Dominique.
Which is just foolish. Mm-hmm. It's about 85% for those of you that aren't great at math.
Yeah.
It's about an 85% shooting percentage, which is just stupid. I can't shoot 85% on freaking right-handed layups. So, yeah, unbelievable. So, you know, Dominique and Larry Bird going back and forth and back and forth, and obviously the Celtics end up winning, and they... But they ended up, they won that game. 118-116 was the final score. Larry Bird hit a layup towards the end of the game. I don't think it wasn't at the buzzer, but it was towards the end of the game that sealed the game for the Celtics. So, but that was a hell of a game. So that was May 22nd, 88. Just one of those moments where, for me at least, when you hear about the Bird legacy and what Bird brought and who Bird was, that was such a huge part of it, games like that, you know?
Right, yeah. And rewatchability, too.
Oh, yeah.
If that's on ESPN Classic or NBA TV, I mean, you're going to watch it. But, yeah, that was because what Bird retired in 92, so he had a few years left. I think he missed 89.
I think you're right. But that was his last real hurrah.
One of them. He had the game when he hit his head.
Oh, right.
That was probably his last
good point.
Game, but I don't know. Funny thing about Bird, you can tell what year it is by his hairstyle. Seriously.
I know. I believe you. I mean, Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. What a legend that guy was.
Oh, the best.
He's just, best. You know. And so you go back and forth about who's the best of all time. And I think at some point, maybe we'll talk about this, depending on what happens in the NBA Finals, greatest of all time and this and that. And I think Bird, you can't really put him as the greatest of all time, but...
No, he's top 10. He's like, right now, LeBron is catching on. This is a big finals for LeBron.
I think LeBron's already passed Bird, to be honest with you.
It's hard for me to say that.
True. I understand that. I don't like it. I don't like myself for that too much, but it just is what it is. I mean, you just look at the scoreboard, and it's not necessarily the championships won, but it's just how good he is, how he can play
positions. He's probably, LeBron's probably one of the three most dominant players in the history of basketball.
Right. He changes the game.
Three or four.
I mean, changes the game. You know, you look at a guy like Shaq who changed the game defensively. Mm-hmm. They have defensive 3 seconds because they were like, oh, you run a 3-2 and you put Shaq in the middle? That's not fair. Yeah. So we need to now change that. So you can't do that. Like, they literally changed the rules so that for Shaq.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, that's a pretty big impact. Yeah. You know, and LeBron is just, he's just next level. I mean, the guy physically, I've never seen anyone physically dominate a game like he does. And Bird didn't do that, physically dominate a game, but he
mentally
was
mentally,
that's really it, right? He was just so smart.
The greatest genius in basketball history. I mean, the guy, he couldn't run. He couldn't play much of defense. I've seen him dunk maybe 3 times.
It's really...
If that.
It's really.
But he was just so far ahead of everyone else in the court. Look at the steal.
Yeah.
Against Detroit. It's the most brilliant play ever.
Yeah.
Not just by Bird, by DJ for cutting the lane. Yeah.
But because he had Bird on the team, he knew he's going to make a play and I better be ready for it, you know? I mean, you go back and forth about a billion different things that Bird does, that Bird did. My favorite Bird story of all time is Xavier McDaniel. You know, I watched some stupid highlight reel of Bird back when I was a kid, and Xavier McDaniel, who played for the Celtics eventually, was on the Sonics, I think, and they called the timeout with 7 or 8 seconds left in the game. And as he's walking back to the bench, he points at a spot on the floor, and he goes, "Hey, Xavier, I'm going to take the ball, I'm going to go right there, and I'm going to bury the shot in your face." And he's like, "Yeah, okay, whatever, you know, whatever, go back to your hut," right? And he goes, "He got the ball at the inbound. He took the ball to that exact spot and hit a shot in my face and won the game." And he's like, "What the hell do you do?" Like, he told me what he was going to do, and I still couldn't stop him. And he just, he was, by the way, an all-time trash talker.
Oh,
I mean,
maybe the best ever.
All-time trash talker. So, you know, he just, and he was a master motivator. You look at the 84 season where, we played like a bunch of girls out there, and, you know, Rambus gets clotheslined the next game, you know, so.
Still laying on the floor, it's a great lesson for him.
I mean, it's just awesome, you know, and you don't see that. It's funny because during game 2, I was thinking about that game because they got blown the hell out in game 2, and I'm sitting there thinking, I just want someone to freaking Kurt Rambis clothesline somebody, anything. Just show me some life that you're alive, that you care about the game, you know? And you know, obviously the NBA isn't built like that anymore, because if he did that, now you get suspended for 4 games. So you really can't do that. But I was so pissed. I was like, just do something. Just freaking go after the guy. Mm-hmm. And they didn't, but they did come out in game 3 and play the way they did. So so I was happy about that. But that was... Anyway, that was so May 22nd, 1988. Yep. It was the Wilkins.
And actually, tomorrow in 2005, May 25th, 2005, for all you soccer fans, Liverpool defeated AC Milan 4-3 in the Champions League final. Liverpool was down 3-0 in the first half of that game. They gave up a goal in the first minute, and then a couple other goals. And at halftime, they were down 3-0, as we call it in soccer. And then Steven Gerrard, the captain, with the header for the first goal. And they got another one. I think they scored 3 goals in like 6 minutes to tie it up, and they ended up winning it in a shootout.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah. So Steven Gerrard, if Liverpool was Boston's, if they were like based in Boston, Gerrard would be David Ortiz and Tom Brady. I mean, he's such a Boston athlete. If you watch videos of that guy, or if you watched him when he was playing, he just retired recently, but like he was something special. He was an awesome player. Wasn't like the world's fanciest soccer player, but he was just like a Brady or a Bird. You know, just,
went out, did his job. Yeah. Did his job and won. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. That's all you're looking for from a captain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one. It's a good one. 2005. I mean, that's a hell of a comeback. 3-0.
Yeah.
3-0. Sorry, not 3-0.
Well, it's just like the Red Sox in 2004.
Right.
So it's very, very similar.
Or
to
like
that.
We talked about last week, you know, the Bruins in 2010.
Oh yeah. That,
sorry about
that
Derek.
Damn graphic.
My buddy Derek was like, he's like, really? You got to mention it. You had to do it. You know, he's up early with his son. He's like, really? You had to do that to me? Like, you know. So I apologize. I just mentioned it again, so I apologize again. Sorry about that. But 3-0 is a hell of a comeback. Mm-hmm. So, especially in a championship game like that.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yep. So there you go. All right, so the one to watch this week, we got two of them. First is Sens Pens. Tomorrow night, game 7. Senators, Penguins. In Pittsburgh, actually, game 7. So, I mean, here's Ottawa, who, like, nobody had Ottawa in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I know.
Okay, and here they are with the Bond villain as their as their head coach. I mean, if you know, Guy Boucher, he is a Bond villain.
Yes.
I mean, you look at his face. Like, how the hell did he get that scar on his face?
Yeah.
Other than, you know, some makeup guy doing it in the back because he's in a movie with James Bond. Like, it's just, it's perfect. And the name.
Yeah, he wouldn't even have to change
face.
His name.
No, he wouldn't, right? He just, the name and the face, and he's never smiled. I don't think I've ever seen the guy smile. I mean, he could win the cup and not smile.
Yeah.
You know, really. I mean, really. But that 1-3-1 zone, man, is lights out. And
oh,
so
yeah.
People just can't figure
They'll
it out.
They'll outlaw that, just like they did the trap.
Probably. But. Yep, probably. So
I'm rooting for them, though.
Oh, rooting hard.
Yeah.
For them, hard.
A, I hate Pittsburgh, and B, I love Canadian hockey teams for the
yep.
most part.
Oh, I'll tell you what, though. If they win, the NHL is going to be pissed.
Oh,
Because they're going to have two of, like, the worst markets playing in the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah.
Because Nashville's already in the finals. And I'll tell you, man, Nashville... I mean, look, Nashville likes their hockey team, and they're on board, and everyone's on the bandwagon.
Move
now.
Move them out of there.
But they have no idea what the hell they're doing.
No way.
They don't know what the hell they're doing. So, you know, but look, I mean, it seems like you watch a game, and it seems like the fans are into it.
Yeah.
And if they are, if they're into it, and it seems like Nashville, Tennessee is really where we're going to have an NHL team, but if they're into it, shoot, give it to them. Why not, you know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, whatever. But I mean, if you can have a franchise in Phoenix, Arizona, you can have one in Nashville, Tennessee. At least
Quebec,
Nashville's towards the East Coast.
Quebec just built like a 19,000 seat arena, and their junior hockey team plays there, like all like the college kids.
Oh boy!
And they're just waiting for Arizona or
the Nordiques to come back.
Yeah, or the Florida Panthers or something. Just do it.
One of those
they won't do it. Bettman's an idiot. Because it's like, you only have, what, 6 or 7 Canadian teams. And there's probably like, you could fit another team in Toronto if you wanted
you
to.
You probably could, yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, let's put another team in Vegas. Let's put a team in Vegas. Another team in the West that no one cares about. And,
well, I understand the Vegas angle. I know why they're doing it. And it makes sense. I mean, I get the Vegas thing.
Yeah, it's all money.
Well, right, and that's all they care about is money.
Yeah.
I can also see why they wouldn't want to put another team in Toronto because the Maple Leafs are like, that's our freaking city.
Right,
and
but
I know
they thought about putting another team in Toronto.
No, I know, but I wonder if part of it getting squashed was Toronto not wanting to do that. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. But, you know, but I wonder, I mean, shoot, I mean, think about it, right? What if, and there's a lot of baseball fans up here, right? What if someone was like, hey, we're going to put another team in Boston?
Move
right?
the Braves back up here. I'd love well, it. And, awesome. Right, but National I mean, League Baseball.
But the Red Sox would be like, what are you kidding me? Well, yeah, like, we have a team here, you know? And so New York has two teams, but they've had two teams since, like, who the hell knows when, right? The Yankees have been there since what, the 20s?
They had, like, three and teams so, back in the 20s. In the
what am I talking about? They were, you know, they've been there forever. So, you know, so you just look at it and say, okay, New York's always had it. Mm-hmm. And Toronto hasn't. So now you're going to add another team. At just this point, with the money involved, the amount of money that's involved, it's just you wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah. Quebec's a different story. I think Quebec makes sense.
Right, because there's room for another team now because you're going to have 31 teams.
Right.
So you might as well even it out and then have, you know, 4 8-team divisions.
Right.
It's
right.
easy, but they won't do it. You already just add another team in New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico. You know, even Seattle. And it's the same with the NBA, too.
Right.
You know, I haven't really heard anything about expanding, but.
No.
You got to. Seattle, I think, just okayed a new arena to be built.
Yeah. So yeah. Good luck with that, Seattle. It's not going to happen.
Well, it's a great sports town.
And it is a great sports town.
I mean, Sonics are awesome.
Look at the Blazers. Sonics. Look at the Trailblazers. Yeah. They get people there. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's better than some of these other places that can't sell out their freaking games. Like, if you can't sell out your stadium, what the hell are you doing? You know? But realistically, the owners don't care about that. They don't care about selling out their stadium. Yeah. What the hell difference does that make to them? They're making hand over fist with, you know, the TV money and the endorsement deals and everything else. If you come, you come. Whatever, you know? So, yeah. But anyways, that's that. By the way, just a quick stat for you here. I did say the game's in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. The home team in Game 7s in the Stanley Cup playoffs are 122-93, which works out to about a 57% winning percentage. So Pittsburgh's got the upper hand here, but not by much.
What's that in basketball?
See what happens. Oh, it's
196-3.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's you don't win many game sevens on the road.
You don't
basketball.
Win many road games in basketball.
So no, you don't. You don't. And so that's why you see hockey. It's so much more evenly matched. Mm-hmm. So I know that tomorrow night is the Celtics game 5. I get that. You're probably gonna be watching that, but you could flip back and forth between the Celtics and the Sens Pens.
It also depending on what the score is, depending what the score is at halftime.
True, very true. You may just want to shut the freaking thing. Yeah. So, let's hope not, but you might just want to. So you get the Sens Pens on. Yeah. So anyways, the other one is Sunday is the Indy 500. So you get the Indy cars.
Yeah. We know zero drivers.
Nothing.
Maybe Andretti is
Mario. Yeah, you never know. Yeah. Maybe Mario Andretti's kid by now is racing. I have no idea, but you can watch on Sunday and find out. So
it's just on.
It is the Indy 500. Right. So I've heard of the Indy 500. I know about the Indy 500. Mm-hmm. They are Indy cars because of the Indy 500. Right. So you would assume that it's a pretty big race because they're Indy cars, right? So check it out. I'm sure it's lots of fun if you like watching cars drive laps around stuff. You know. But that's a great sales pitch right there.
There's more to it than that.
Clearly. And actually, there's more to Indy racing than there is to NASCAR. NASCAR, you just go in freaking loops right around.
Well, that's
right?
What this track
just
is.
Just a solid left turn. Oh, good point. Crap. Yeah, you're not helping me with my point here. But anyways, check it out anyways. Or don't. I don't really care. But it's there. It's happening on Sunday. So just so you know. So that's that, I think, for this week. Yeah. Next week, we're probably talking Celtics offseason, possibly an NBA Finals preview. You never know.
Hopefully, Celtics Warriors.
Hey, it's possible. So, and then we'll also get into some Patriots stuff. OTA started this week, so we'll talk about some Patriots OTA stuff, some offseason stuff that's happened since, and some stuff leading up to the season. And then maybe we'll get into some Bruins, possibly some Red Sox. So who knows? We'll see what happens. But certainly next week we'll be talking Celtics and Patriots. So that's pretty much it for this week. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
And we will be back. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, next week.